You are listening to Ron Van Dam, a man who sold his soul for fame and fortune and didn't keep the receipt. This is the Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
The following programming is EI, educational and informative.
All right, if you say so.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Educational?
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Welcome to the program. It is indeed, without question, the Ron Van Dam Show. This is what I sound like, so it is me. I love it when people get colds, you know, like stuffy nose, and they lose their voice a little bit, and they say, you know, this doesn't sound like me. Yeah, it sounds like you with a cold. Or when you record somebody's voice and they say, oh man, that doesn't sound like me. It does. That's a voice recorder. That's what you sound like. It's like when they take a picture of you with their little stupid cell phones or something, and you look at the picture after they took it and go, oh, that doesn't look like me. Yes, it does. That looks like you exactly, because that is you. Perception is 100% of the law, you know. I mean, if you don't want to accept the fact that that's the way you look, at least when someone took the picture, then you don't understand that's the way you look. Or you look in the mirror and you go, ooh, I don't look too good. No, you don't. All right. That's enough. That's enough of that opening stuff. How are you? How you doing? Oh, my God, how are you? It's been so long. Some of you haven't heard this show before at all. What the hell's wrong with you? Did you not know this was happening? Did you not read the papers? This is a big deal. Oh, yeah. I'm recognized throughout the world. People in other galaxies are aware of my program. You can pick this show up. This is how strong my satellite stuff and platform stuff is. And stations, they can pick me up from Mars. Those little green men that run around Mars and hop into our Land Rovers and stuff, they can hear the show. They're influenced by it. I'm an influencer. That's what I am. I'm an influencer. I don't know what the hell that means, but I'm one. I'm a YouTuber. What the hell does that mean? What are you proud of that? What are you talking about? I'm a slob. What are you talking? Stop naming yourself various categories. You don't need to be in a category. You are yourself. You are who you are. You are an individual. Nobody else is like you. Thank God, right? I know. You know, you hear these twins saying, you know, me and my sister are exactly alike. We like the same things. We do the same things. We look alike. Yeah, but one of you smells more than the other, okay? So you're not exactly alike. Ron, this is evil. What kind of show is this? I don't know. To be honest with you, I don't know. I have an interesting guest coming up a little bit later in the program, but until that occurs, you just got me. So buckle up, buttercup. Here we go. I'm getting a little bit perturbed.
Really?
You? Yeah, I'm getting a little perturbed about the airline industry. What the hell? Why are we just lying down and just taking all this crap. The airline industry is walking all over us. When did it start that a little bit of rain in the forecast would shut down an airport and cancel 100 flights? When did that start happening? I think it's an excuse because airlines don't have enough employees all of a sudden. I don't know why. They can't find it. All you do is you stand on the plane and you serve a cocktail or two and you walk up and down the aisle. I mean, is this difficult? You're paid okay. You get to stay in hotels around the world. What's your problem? There were plenty of them before. What happened to you people? You all working at Wendy's? Why aren't there enough? Why can't we find some pilots? They get paid pretty well too. A lot of people want to be pilots. Why can't they be this now? Well, we can't, we're canceling the flight. We can't find a crew. Oh, that's probably essential, isn't it? Here's an idea. Hire more people. I know a lot of people. It's not the end of the sentence. I know a lot of people, their flights were canceled because of somewhat foul weather somewhere else. Or they didn't have the crew was not well. I mean, I know that when you get COVID, I think we're a little bit past that now. I mean, you can hire your grandmother to walk up and down the aisles and get you a pillow. I mean, what is the big deal here? Anyway, hundreds of flights are canceled every day in every airport everywhere. What the airlines don't seem to understand is people don't just get on planes in order to take a plane ride. They use it as a vehicle to get somewhere for a vacation, for hotel rooms that they've booked, for trips that they've booked, for various functions, events. The airplane is not the event. It's to get you to the event. When you cancel a flight, you're screwing up hundreds of people's deals. And here's what the airline offers you if they cancel a flight or something goes terribly wrong and they can't get a crew. Here's what they do. They'll say, well, we can rebook you on another. No, you don't understand. Rebooking me is not going to do it. I have to be at this location. I have tickets for this. I'm going to a funeral. I have hotel rooms booked. I can't get my money back from everybody. I'm going to lose. So not only do I want my money back, but I want also to be compensated for the entire cost of my vacation has now been screwed up. Well, we don't do that. We just will give you a little credit, you know, toward another flight. Other than that, too bad. Too bad. That's just wrong. That's wrong. I don't know how they get away with this. I mean, airlines, we can't touch them for some reason. We can't, don't take the money for my flight if you can't guarantee that that flight's going to occur. I understand when things go, when there's hurricanes and I get that. Those are what they call acts of God. God has acts. Did you know that? ACTS, by the way. I get that. But these hundreds of cancellations are not for that reason. I don't understand the problem. How do they get away with that crap? And why can't you just like give me a bag of peanuts for free? You know how much money I'm spending on your flight? And you can't give me a free bag of peanuts? You charge me for a little sandwich, for two pieces of bread and a little piece of meat? Are you serious? Bake it into the price and don't tell me then. But don't do that. And stop having those seats recline. I don't care how comfortable the other person is. It's a chain reaction. It's a domino thing. You put your seat back. Now the back of your seat is in my face. Is that proper for the amount of money that I spent? And little kids should go in the baggage area, not where the public is. I don't understand the whole thing. I just don't. This whole airline thing is just extremely annoying. But how dare you cancel a flight? Or even delay it to the point where I can't make my connecting flight. Do you understand how horrible that is? Now it's a chain reaction of screwing everything up. When I hear stories about people camping out in the airports because their flight was canceled, I don't understand how they can just sit there on the floor in the airport. I'd be pissed. I'd call my attorney immediately. And the only way that you can possibly get your money back, is to buy extra insurance for your flight. It's a scam and a sham and a pam and a flam. The whole thing's messed up. It got so convoluted and complicated. Seriously? How is that possible? The other thing I don't understand is when they recall an automobile. You buy a car, usually from a dealership. This is where this happens. You drive your car around for a year or two. All of a sudden, you get a notice in the mail. You know that car we sold you? It could blow up. You didn't tell me that when you sold me the car. Well, we didn't know then. Well, then check it out better. God, then don't sell me a car until you've had it like test driven for a year. How can you tell me? Well, all of a sudden we're finding out that the cars that we made like 3 years ago, they're blowing up indiscriminately. So you better get we gotta bring them in. We got a little part we got to replace and then your car won't blow up. Oh, I see. So I've been driving around in a car that can blow up. Ugh. American ingenuity. So you bring the car in. All right, well, you want to wait for it? No, I don't want to wait for it. Give me another car. This is your fault, not mine. What did I do wrong? You can't disrupt my life because you sold me a car that's tending to blow up all of a sudden. What is that about? Recall. Seriously? Give me another car. You take this one back that isn't working. Give me another one. Let's start the process over again. It doesn't make a car manufacturer look very good when you got to recall stuff. I mean, if I had a Toyota, let's say, and I'm just naming Toyota for the hell of it, and I get a letter. Mr. Van Damme, a Toyota that you're driving around, they blow up. Okay, I'll bring it back. Give me another Toyota, and we'll call it a day. Have a nice day. Thank you. I mean, that's the way it should be. I mean, come on, man. I mean, if I buy a fan and the fan doesn't work, I bring it back to the store, they give me another fan. Story done. I'm not put out too much, but not a big deal. Car that could break down or blow up. Give me another car. I'll drive it away. I'll keep that car. What's your problem? We can't do that. Well, then don't sell me the car that didn't work. We sound like Bill Cosby there for a second. That didn't sound like me. And people wonder why I'm grumpy. You know, that's why. Auto insurance. Give me a freaking break. Auto insurance? Okay, I get it. But if I have a problem, I mean, what am I paying for? If I have a problem and I collect on the auto insurance because something happened, the auto insurance people don't care. They just raise my premiums until I've paid them back. What kind of insurance is that? That was a loan. That's not an insurance payment. It's a loan until we charge you enough money to make our money back. How is that legal? I own a house. Soon will. But I live in a house that I own. And one of my water pipes broke. Okay. That's fine. Wasn't my fault. What did I do? The house is old enough where pipes don't last forever. Little pinhole in a pipe. Water started spurting everywhere. Called in the plumber, replaced the pipe. There was some water damage on the floor. Had to be replaced. Called home insurance. They paid for it. All of a sudden, my premiums go up. Not my fault. I didn't walk around with a hammer hitting pipes. I didn't start dumping tar down my sink or anything. Pipe just got old. It happens. We all get old. Yeah, insurance paid for it. Premiums went up. And eventually, I paid for it. I mean, all that was a loan. I need the money now to repair the floor. Here's the money. But we're going to raise your premium rates. You pay us back year by year until you've paid us back completely. There's your insurance. That's not insurance. That's a small business loan. Am I wrong? Tell me, am I wrong? And yet they get away with that. How do you get away? How do you start an entire industry that makes no sense? And they're making tons of money because I think they charge a little bit more than what that business loan is. I think their percentage is a little higher. I don't know, man. I don't know. I'm confused. Anyway, I could go on and on like this, but I have a time limit to this show because my listeners can only take so much in one shot, and I understand that completely. I got to lose weight, man. I'm getting this little, as I get older, I have this little, what they call a spare tire in my stomach. It looks like I swallowed a spare tire, not a full-size one, just this little spare tire, the kind that you drive around just to get home or just to get another tire. You know, you don't leave it on. It's they call it a donut tire. Tasty. I have one of those in my stomach, and I don't know if it's bloat or gas or fat. I have no way of knowing. Perhaps I should invent a bloat meter that you stick in your belly button as if you're reading the air gauge on a tire. It goes into your belly button directly into your bloat in your stomach, and it reads how much air is in there. And if there's too much air, you just leave the gauge in and let the air bleed out, and then I probably would look skinny. But do they have something like that? No. All they have are methods where they suck the fat out of you. Sucking fat out of me isn't a bad idea, but then more fat is going to replace it. I can't get fat sucked every minute. This Botox thing? It's an incredible thing. I think it also helps with migraines. They figured that out? Yeah, right. Maybe. I don't know. Botox is not permanent for the rest of your life. You want to get rid of the wrinkles in your forehead or whatever, you know. You got to go back and have it done a lot. Is it worth it? Sure it is. Do you know why it's worth it? Because we don't feel good until we look good. If you don't look good and you don't do anything about it, you've kind of just given up. Because we live in a society where looking good is, again, 90% of the law. It's true. If you see someone that you haven't seen in a while or whatever, and they say, hey, you're looking good today, that makes your day. That's a good thing. You go, oh, I look good. And all of a sudden you're standing up straight. Things are going well. But if someone says the opposite, hey, you put on some weight, whew. That's depressing. That's suicidal. And that ruins your day. So, my point is, if you think you look good, then you are good. If you think you look bad, then you are bad. Perception is 9/10 of the law. You don't believe me? Give it a shot. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, my guest will be joining us.
Everyone's doing a chicken sandwich these days, but nobody does it quite like Burger Guy. Introducing Burger Guy's new all-beef chicken sandwich. It starts with three of our signature paper-thin patties and a hearty helping of our something-like-cheese sauce on a delicious day-old bun. So what makes it a chicken sandwich? Well, every Burger Guy all-beef chicken sandwich is topped with a crispy, Cajun spice, free-range chicken beak. It's the tastiest part of the chicken. Science tells us so. The new all-beef chicken sandwich. Available for a limited time, only at Burger Guy.
The Burger Guy all-beef chicken sandwich is available as a meal combo with the Burger Guy metric ton of fries and keg of soda. The Burger Guy all-beef chicken sandwich contains less than 2% chicken by weight and should not be confused with a chicken sandwich containing more than 2% chicken. Consult your physician before eating anything at Burger Guy, ever.
John Leckie joins us now. He's John the Builder. And he's a former NFL player. And you turned builder. How did that happen?
You know, when you get done playing football and you played up until, I was 24, you don't get much experience in the workforce or doing much else with your life. So for me, I kind of went back to what I knew as a young man. I grew up in a blue-collar family where my father and grandfather worked construction. So to my uncle, I was free labor for them when I was young. And kind of just picked up some tools and started building stuff. I love home renovation work, and I just tried, earning my chops doing that kind of stuff when I got done playing. And the custom furniture side of things sort of took off, and I ran with it. And so I just, honestly, I just kind of got into it. I didn't really have a plan or anything, just wanted to build some stuff, and that's what happened.
You know, John, I spent a lot of time on this show talking about what I believe your belief system is in this regard, and that is that education is wonderful. You do need to learn certain things depending on what field you're going into. But to me, the real skills of life are these skills, helpful technical skills that they don't teach in classrooms necessarily, staring at classrooms. And to push people to get these skills is very important. As a matter of fact, probably make more money doing what you're talking about than you do many other jobs. So I'm a great believer in this.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think as you get older, when I was in my 20s, I didn't realize how important it would be to know how to fix things around my home or, do basic kind of maintenance on things that I have spent my hard-earned dollars on, like my vehicle, like my yard, my house, all that kind of stuff. You're right. You don't learn those skills in school. So to have those when you get older, I think is hugely valuable. And also speaking of a career, like you said, you can come out of high school and a couple years of trade school and make an incredible living without all of the debt you incur in traditional, sort of like the college or university atmosphere. Yes. So you're totally right there.
Yeah, and livings that are constant. I mean, plumbers, electricians. I mean, these are saviors when a homeowner has a problem, and they're always needed and they're always wanted. As a matter of fact, there's really not enough of them.
Yeah, couldn't agree more there. And I know. I know a lot of millionaire plumbers here in Pittsburgh that run incredible businesses, and it's, like you said, they're always needed and it's not going anywhere.
Yeah, there's no question about it. So what would you say to a youngster that you who doesn't have any particular direction at their last year of high school? And I've met a lot of kids like that. What would you say to them?
Yeah. I would say don't be afraid to get your hands dirty.
Yeah.
The world today makes it seem like it's not cool to do physical labor. And I'll tell you that there's almost nothing as rewarding as being able to craft and create something with your hands. and to be able to create, you know, a vision or dreams that wasn't in the physical world, and make that a reality. So, you know, get creative and chase the things that you want to do. And don't be afraid to get a little bit dirty doing so. You don't have to, you know, sit at a desk and do the type of work that seems to be boring and monotonous.
Right.
There's a lot of fun to be had getting your hands dirty.
Not that there's anything wrong with sitting at a desk. It just, for many people,
no, I do it way more than I thought I would.
Or you hire people to do that. It's kind of the opposite. Exactly. It's kind of the opposite of what you're talking about there. You have to hire people to do that stuff, and they have to hire you to do their stuff. So it kind of makes sense.
I
remember a kid down the street. His father was a plumber, and he wasn't particularly interested, but he went with his father on the jobs, and he learned firsthand, you know, without sitting in a classroom at a desk. He was just doing it, and he did it for a couple of years. Ended up owning the business, hiring a whole team, now has a franchise, opens up franchises. I mean, it's an amazing success stories, all because he just was standing next to somebody that was showing him.
Yeah. And you can't trade that sort of experience. No. And to your statement earlier, those jobs are always going to be there. Those opportunities are always going to be there.
Absolutely.
You know, like you said, you're electricity and plumbing aren't going away. Neither is HVAC or carpentry, you know, metalwork, bricklayers, any of it.
Yeah.
There's almost more of a demand for it now than there has been in the past decade. So to your point, you can learn on the job. You can gain experience. It could cost you very little. You can make money while learning and then turn that into a lucrative and fulfilling and rewarding career.
No question about it. Now, what if someone's listening and saying to themselves, I'd like to get into this. What do I do? Where do I go?
Find the things that interest you, right? The beauty about the world today is that the internet has vast, deep rabbit holes of all kinds of quirky and cool stuff that you can get into. And if you're looking to get into the you know, the skilled trades, there's going to be someone out there that you can relate to, that you can emulate on the internet, probably doing it already.
Yeah.
And you can, you know, find ways to become parts of their community and support them, or take their tips and tricks and apply it to things you want to try.
Cool.
But that's free. It is free to browse the internet.
You
can find a lot of things that are quite interesting and inspiring. And if you feel like you're alone or secluded because you're, you know, in your physical group, there's not a lot of people doing so.
Yeah.
I guarantee you that there's people online that are doing the things you want to be doing.
Excellent. How does someone follow you, John?
You can look me up on all social media under my name, John Malecki, or check me out at johnmalecki.com. You can see all the shenanigans we're getting into and all the cool and wild things that we're building and what's going on here in my life and my shop.
Cool. I'm going to spell your last name for those that may not know. Malecki, just like it sounds.
Nailed it.
John, it's been a pleasure speaking to you, and thanks for inspiring people to be successful and find their dreams. Well, that'll do it for me today. You've been wonderful as usual. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new program. But until that time occurs, well, I wish you peace.